Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
This. Remember, Jesus had some confrontation with people who wanted to make him king because he saw him do some amazing things. He went to the other side of the lake. They came over. After all of that, you can look it up or listen online to figure out what the after this reference is. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. Somebody say Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea. Somebody say Judea. Galilee, Judea. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He didn't want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. Now, let me interrupt the reading of Scripture to tell you, if you haven't been a part of this teaching series or if you forgot what we talked about 4 months ago, how many of you remember what I taught on 4 months ago? So hurtful. Gosh. You'll notice my hand's not in the air either. I don't remember. But here's the deal, lest you get discouraged. How many of you remember what you had for breakfast 4 months ago? It doesn't matter if you remember. It still nourished you back then, right? We don't have to remember everything. Just in the moment, it provides nourishment for the day. So because we're forgetful people, because we don't remember what was taught on 4 years ago, what we have in this text is a recurring theme that has shown itself several times so far in the Gospel of John. That is, Jesus is going to a place where churchy people reside. In our scriptures, Judea was the place where religious people hung out. If you wanted to have religious influence, if you wanted to kind of celebrate your religiosity and your religious power, you would go to Judea. The people who were looking for and studying about the coming Messiah, they all lived in Judea. Jesus was of the Jewish tradition, as you most likely know. Anybody who is anybody who wanted to influence those people would go to Judea. Them Galileans, somebody say them Galileans. They just didn't get it because they didn't know how to act when it came to religious things. They didn't even dress right. They didn't even cut their hair right. There are rules on such things. And those Galileans, they just were a little uncouth and uneducated and considered less than the Judeans. From a religious perspective, in Jesus' day, you wanted to be a Judean, you did not want to be a Galilean. And yet we see that Jesus, the Bible says, went around in Galilee. And we read this, he did not want to go about in Judea. And so there's that theme again. Do you guys see it? By going to Galilee and not going to Judea, Jesus is making a powerful statement in why he came to planet Earth. He didn't come for the religiously astute. Dramatic pause for you to get this. Because some of you have been going to church your whole life. Me. People like me know how to act and behave in church. People like me, quite frankly, are more comfortable in churchy environments than unchurchy environments. And Jesus didn't come to those who were comfortable in churchy environments. He came to those who were not comfortable in churchy environments because he wanted the grace of God to explode beyond the walls of religiosity. He wanted people who had no idea how to embrace church culture. He wanted those people to know that he loves them and is for them. And so the good news is, some of you in this room fall right in line. That Jesus didn't come to make a religious movement. Right? It's been said he came to create a religious. Nope. It's come. Let me start over. Anybody? Start over. He didn't come to create a religious movement. He came to create a relationship for you. And so when Jesus avoided Judea and went to Galilee, he's speaking throughout the millennium saying that I want you to know me and I don't really care if you're religious or not. Turn to you and say, it's not about religion. Yeah, and this really bothered the Jewish people. This bothered the religious people. It says they were looking for a way to kill him. You know, Jesus had a way of annoying religious people. Did I say had? He still does. You see, religion likes prescription and boxes and rules and behaviors and checklists of behavior, but Jesus ain't about any of that. Jesus is about life and freedom and busting down religious rules and walls. And that really bothers religious people. You know, in a way, it's easier to be religious because you don't really have to think or have that relationship. You can just kind of have it all laid out for you. And if you just do A, B, and C, life is simple. Jesus doesn't want you to have an A, B, C relationship with you. He wants to have a dynamic, ever-changing, always talking movement in relationship with him. Now, that's good news. Somebody tell your face, that's good news. But it's difficult, and that really frustrates religious people who want a simple way. So let me just ask you, turn to your neighbor and say, gut check is coming. Now, there's an obvious answer to the following question, but I really want you to think, especially those of you who've been a part of this church for a long time. If you're new here, you can, you know, answer the question, that's fine. But I really want those who've been here for a while to ask this question deeply because it has some powerful implications. Are you by nature more Judean or Galilean? Is your faith more Judean or Galilean? Is your faith marked more by religious practice where you check it off the box, or is your faith marked more by relationship with the one who sought you out? Well, obviously we want to be Galilean. But if your relationship is Judean, more rules and regulations and just checking it off, the good news is that Jesus came for Judeans too. And so as you see that Jesus goes to Galilee and he didn't want to go to Judea, consider this an invitation to come to Galilee. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on. Back to the text. When the Jewish festival of Tabernacles, somebody say tabernacle. It's a fun word. Say it again. Tabernacle. When the Jewish festival of tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, now hang on. Let me just give you a little lineage, right? Who is Jesus' mama? Who is Jesus' dad? Who is Jesus' dad? Who is Jesus' biological father? Right, so we know, because the scriptures tell us, and if we walk in this faith, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, right? She conceived by the Holy Spirit. So his biological dad was the Father, was God. But his mama was Mary, right? And so who are these brothers the Bible speaks of? This might be just a curiosity for you. We do know that he had a stepdad. And what was the stepdad's name? We do know that Joseph and Mary made babies. Y'all know how that happens, right? If not, Google can help you. So when the Bible talks about Jesus' brothers, it really means that maybe one of two or three things. It might mean literally his biological half-brothers. Or in the Jewish culture, the word brother could mean cousins, you know, close family relations. Or maybe something similar to what we use it, brother could be really close friends. Whatever the case, these are Jesus' closest people. These are the people who grew up with Jesus in his life close. Now, a word on parents and a spoiler alert. I'm going to read here in a minute that the brothers disagreed with Jesus and they kind of got in a scrap with Jesus. So parents, even Jesus got in a fight with his siblings. Parents, if your kids are fighting, even Mary's kid got in a fight with one another. It's okay. And maybe, quite frankly, that's all you might need to hear. Maybe you're really discouraged in your parenting. And maybe you need to know that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had issues. And one of her issues were her kids didn't always get along. If that's a good news to you, parents, repeat after me. Whew. It's okay. All right. The brothers, the ones closest, they said to him, back to the text, leave Galilee. Go to Judea. Implied, what are you doing? Leave Galilee, go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. Now, the advice the brothers give him is not bad advice from a PR standpoint. It's not bad. But like the folks who wanted to make Jesus king a chapter earlier, his very closest people misunderstood what Jesus was about. They thought Jesus was about political power and about world dominance and religious influence. They, even though they were the closest to Jesus, misunderstood what he was about. Man, there's another word for those of us who've spent so much time in church. We can be close in proximity to Jesus, but totally miss the perspective he's coming to bring. I want that to be a bit of a sobering truth to those of you who've been around any church environment for a while. We can be close to Jesus and miss the perspective that he brings. And so Jesus wants to reorder our perspective on his priority. He didn't come for religious spectacle or political power. He came to set some people free. In fact, you know, one of the reasons we decided to go through the Gospel of John this year is because I felt like as a preacher, you know, we've been around the rivers in existence for 14 years. I feel like over the last 13 years, I got about like 10 different messages. And I keep preaching the 10 same messages, you know what I'm saying? And it always centered around God's grace and God's mercy. And I said to myself, well, you know, if I go through the Gospel of John and I don't pick a text or pick a text or pick a text, I'll just let the Bible dictate the topic of the day. You know what I've been discovering? The messages I had been speaking that were topical from Scripture are the same that we're seeing as we go expositorially through the whole Gospel of John. That is to say, the entire Gospel of John, one step at a time, it's the same as the topics we've been preaching. So I'm sorry, here we are again, hearing the same old message, Jesus loves you, this I know. I tried to get away from it, people, by going to a gospel teaching. And praise God, we can't get away from it. I mean, really. We can't get away from it, that Jesus came to set prisoners free. I mean, whether it's a topical sermon where we choose different texts or whether we walk through an entire book of the Bible and let it dictate what we say, we're going to see that the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that he came to set us free. Let me read to you. These are Jesus' first public words, first public statement, really, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, a friend of John. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Are there any poor people in the house? No shame in that. Are there any poor people in the house? Jesus came to proclaim good news to you. And he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight. Are there anybody who's been like in bondage in anything in their lives other than me? Jesus said, I've come that you might have freedom. And I've come to bring sight to the blind. Is anybody that has need a healing of a sort? Jesus said, I came here for you. Anybody felt oppressed by this world? Come on now, pay attention. Anybody? Jesus said, I've come to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's a message that is throughout the scripture. We can't get away from it. Jesus is for your freedom. And he came that you might have life and have it to the full, spilling over kind of life, happy life, joyful life. We have issues because we have a pulse, but Jesus didn't intend for us to stay stuck in our issues. He intended to meet us in those issues and bring us to freedom. And so we're going to be 28-year-old in 14 more years, and we'll be hearing the same message then as we hear today. Are you Judean or Galilean? His brothers missed it. His own brothers didn't believe him. You know what our core value is at the River? I've told you our mission is that we exist to glorify God. Our vision is that this is a place for anybody to belong, believe, become. Does anybody know what our two values are? Anyone? Mercy's the second one, right? Mercy's one that we want to exist like to minister to the lost, the least, the lonely. But that's our second value. We have a foundational value that the second one is built upon. Anybody know that first value of intimacy, what it is? Anybody? It's intimacy. But this church exists not to get you into religious practice and purpose. And some people get a little frustrated because we don't have a million programs. It's not about programs. Programs are only helpful if they lead you to intimacy with Jesus. Remember this earlier? Boom. God is here for you. And he wants you to know that he loves you and has for you and wants to set you free. The whole point of the entire gospel is that Jesus and you were made for tight community. And it's only half the message. The other half is that he wants you to tell people in your world that he loves them too. Because people today who don't know God, can't stand God, they too were made for an intimate, close relationship with Jesus. So the two questions are can you grow in intimacy? That's where the fasting might help. And then the second question is, who do you know who could use the blessings of the Lord that you can introduce Jesus to them? Can you grow? And will you go? Intimacy. Therefore, Jesus told them, my time has not yet come. For you, any time will do. How many of you get mad that God's timing is not yours? I mean, the reason I ask you to participate during the teaching is for your sake and a little bit for mine. So I'm going to ask it again. How many of you get frustrated that God's timing is not your timing? I mean, these brothers, these close people to Jesus, they wanted Jesus to act now. They wanted this to happen, and he wasn't. And sometimes it's just frustrating. And sometimes you just want to rip your hair out if you have it and say, come on, God, get there. But I'm telling you, Jesus is teaching his brothers and thus us that he is at work. He has blessings. He is going to do something. Spoiler alert, we're going to see this in weeks to come. Jesus actually does go to Judea, but he goes differently. He's not going as a spectacle. He does go there, but he has to go in his own timing. And so I want to tell those of you who are in the midst of some struggle right now, in the midst of struggle, God hasn't forgotten you. And in the midst of toughness, God is working. His timing is better. Turn to your neighbor and say, his timing is better. His timing is better. Hang in there. They wanted him to go to Judea now. He got there, but in his own timing. So really, some of you have children who are wayward. Some of you have marriages that are on the rocks. Some of you have unemployment. Some of you have issues that are unresolved. God is at work, and relief is going to come. It's a promise. It's going to happen. If you could just simply sit in the patience, knowing that his timing is better than your timing. You know, I've mentioned that throughout my life, I've wrestled with depression on and off, and I've just gotten out of therapy. There have been times I'm like, come on, God, set me free from this. And you know what? I can't just get free because I got baggage that needs to get dealt with. Sometimes the timing that seems slow is God's way of actually helping us work through the junk that we need to work through. Because if I'm carrying baggage today and I don't work at setting it down, but I find a little freedom for a few minutes, well, guess what's going to happen over here? What's going to still be in my hands? Yesterday's baggage. And so sometimes the timing might seem slow because God is doing some work in you. And if God were just to come and boom, blow you out of the water, well, you'd be blown out of the water. He's gentle and he's patient. And like a child learning how to walk, God needs to slowly help you along so that your baggage can be left, so that you can stand tall in days to come. Spoiler alert. Today's baggage, you're going to get freed from. But you'll discover you have more baggage tomorrow. And he's going to want to get you free from that baggage, but he can't get you free from tomorrow's baggage till you get rid of today's baggage. So God's timing is perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, be patient. Somebody say, thank you, Rob. Yeah, I got all this stuff on the Feast of Tabernacles about it being a religious thing and what it was. I'm not going to do any of that. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, you say thank you. That's good enough for the day.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.